In 1859, how many years would that have been? Long time, 65 years ago. 65 years ago, Charles Darwin published his first book describing his theory of evolution. Now, the name of that book was lengthy. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And of course, this was Darwin's attempt to explain the origin of life and mankind apart from Jehovah God. This theory, and it was only a theory, has in the last, it wouldn't be 65 years, it'd be 100. Yeah, I was just 100 off. As you can tell, math was not my subject. But 165 years, those years have literally turned the world of science and theology on their head. Almost all scientists, it seems, now wholeheartedly accept and endorse Darwin's theory. Now, I'm not a scientist, nor a mathematician. And in fact, I really wasn't a fan of science when I was in high school. But you don't have to be a scientist to understand that Darwin's theory has some problems. In fact, it's wrong. Dr. James Bales was a professor at Harding University. And in 1976, he wrote this book, small book, pointing out that it's absolutely impossible to prove evolution with the scientific method. And so what's necessary to scientifically establish the general theory of evolution? I mean, legitimately. Well, first of all, scientific proof must be given of the origin of our universe, our solar system, and our Earth. Good luck on that, right? Secondly, scientific proof of the origin of life must be supplied. Thirdly, it must be scientifically established by the fossil record. Fourthly, it must be proved to be taking place today. And fifthly, it must be proved experimentally in the lab. And last of all, that theory must enable scientists to predict. Now, again, that's James Bell's book, Evolution and the Scientific Method. Listen carefully. Evolution fails on all six of those points required to prove something scientifically. First of all, there's no experiment to duplicate the beginning of the universe. And you might not know, but there's at least 15, probably more explanations now that have been seriously entertained by the scientific community. Secondly, no one can conceive of how dead matter created living matter. And if this has happened, then we have something significant. If it has not happened, that theory is absolutely positively false. Two biochemists, D. Green and F.F. Goldberger, put this in perspective in their book entitled Molecular Insights into the Living Process. I haven't read that book. Don't plan to. But this is something they wrote that's significant. They said there is one step, they're talking about in evolution, there's one step in evolution that far outweighs the others in enormity. The step from macromolecules to cells. living cells, or cells even able to live. They explained all the other steps can be accounted for on theoretical grounds, if not correctly, then at least elegantly. However, the macromolecule to cell transition is a jump of fantastic dimensions, which lies beyond the range of testable hypotheses. And then they said this: in this, all is conjecture. In other words, they're guessing. Bottom line, if macromolecules, and we all know what a molecule is, if macromolecules in a primordial soup formed a living cell, then dead matter has created living matter. And even scientists admit that that's foolishness. Now, thirdly, the fossil record. It, for good reason, deeply disturbed Darwin, since he could never account for the missing links. In other words, the skeletons weren't there of animals that were evolving. And if evolution is true, the fossil record should be powerful and irrefutable evidence. It's not at all. In fact, the fossil record is powerful evidence that, guess what? God created everything according to its kind. It's clearly seen in the plant and animal world. Read for yourself in Genesis 1. Over and over, everything was created according to its kind. Evolution says the opposite. Evolution came from one kind, a single living cell created by dead matter and formed all the kinds. Fourthly, a scientist proving evolution would point to evolution taking place today. The best one I've ever heard is, if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? Now, my kids at times acted like monkeys, but they weren't monkeys. And remember, when we're talking about evolution, we're talking about something more than just adapting to environmental changes. What we're talking about, literally changing from a dog to a cow, or from a fish to a dog. And there's nothing found to point to. Nothing is changing kinds. Fifthly, evolution has not, cannot be proven in the lab. And lastly, no scientist dares predict what new species are on the horizon due to evolution, and then try to provide scientific documentation. Now, again, I'm not a scientist, but we can all understand much of what learned men have written. But when you tune into the National Geographic Channel, for instance, and watch a nature program, you're going to notice that the theory of evolution is presented as an absolute scientific fact. And they'll tell you how many years this took to form this. They present it as an irrefutable fact. Today, even modernistic theologians are often willing to embrace the latest theories of science, even those theories that deny the inspiration of the Bible, and even those theories that deny the deity of Christ and even the existence of God. How does that happen in theology? Do you understand that theistic evolution, which is evolution with God performing continuous creation through millions and millions of years, that this theory blatantly contradicts the Bible? The Bible clearly says that God created a fully grown man in one day. And there was a sun up and there was a sun down. And another sun up and another 24-hour days. While theistic evolution says that man was evolved from a blob over millions of years. The Bible teaches that Adam was the first man. Theistic evolution, have you noticed they come up with all of these other ancient men? By the way, if you really dig deep on that, they'll have the whole skeleton of this man that lived 20 million years ago. But all they really found was one little sliver of bone. And from that, they built this. It's not legitimate. The Bible teaches that from the beginning, there was male and female with the capability of reproduction. That's a good ways from a genderless single cell created from dead matter. The Bible teaches that the first man and woman were able to think and talk and choose and decide what they would do. Not a gradual evolving of mental capabilities over thousands and thousands of years. And so evolution contradicts the Bible. The Bible teaches that Adam was made in the image of God, while evolution affirms that man is still gradually acquiring more and more heightened characteristics. On and on we could go. But our real objective in these lessons, and there's going to be some more, is to focus on what the impact of teaching this godless evolution has had on our culture. Has the human race improved since evolution became accepted so widely? Are folks treating one another more kindly or more lovingly? Has family life and business relationships and professional ethics and international relations improved over the last 165 years due to being exposed to Darwin's theory? Think about this. When we teach an idea or a concept, there's always consequences to that. And that's a timeless biblical truth. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." There's a lot to think about. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. Jesus taught that folks do and say what they have in their hearts. Matthew 12:35. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Mark 7:21 and following, "From within, out of the heart of man proceeds," this is an ugly picture, "proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." And so Paul helped us to think the other way in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Why? Because ideas and thoughts have consequences. Our minds don't work apart from words and ideas and concepts. Thinking and meditating can't occur without ideas. Now, those ideas may be true or false or some of the both, but to formulate a coherent picture of our world, you have to do some thinking. You have to be thinking about some ideas, some concepts. And from our earliest years, those ideas began to take form in our minds, and they continue to influence us as we interrelate with others. That's pretty bottom line stuff, right? Now, think about those verses we read earlier. What we have in our minds is going to influence our behavior. Only those completely out of touch tell us that we're not influenced by the concepts and ideas we see, hear, and read. That's why we encourage people to read it more in 2024. That's why we encourage people to come and be in the Bible classes and be in the worship services. Hear God's word preached. Listen to me. The idea of evolution has a powerful influence and certain consequences on our world. For instance, what we believe about our origin will absolutely have an impact on what we think about ourselves. Genesis 1, 26 and 7, then God said, let us. Us was the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all involved in creation. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Only two genders. What's the consequence of believing that passage? Think about this. What happens to racism? It destroys racism. We're all created by God in his image. And however much pigment you have in your skin has nothing to do to change that. And we're not simply human life. And I should treat other humans accordingly. We're all creations of God. But if I reject this passage and I believe the theory of evolution, hey, now I am free to live by the rule of the jungle. Y'all know what that rule is, don't you?
Strong survive.
Strong survive. The lions and the gorillas survive. I can live by the rule of the jungle without one single ounce of guilt if I'm an adherent of Darwin's evolution. And so if evolution is true, why shouldn't we stop killing one another? Why should we stop killing? I mean, why not? Evolution means that the world should operate on the survival of the fittest. There's actually people that believe that, by the way. It's not surprising that evolutionists think that the lives of animals and even trees and plants are just as valuable as a human life. Have you thought about that? And evolutionists believe we should love the world and love this planet and love our universe because they are eternal. Why shouldn't they believe that? While John wrote, do not love the world or the things in the world. You can't be an adherent of Darwin and follow that. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, ideas have consequences. And so if we're only animal life, if you will, what are the consequences? Should we be surprised when someone walks in a school building and starts taking lives? They don't know those people. Or they walk into a shopping mall and they just start shooting people. Or they get up in a hotel room and look down over a concert with automatic weapons and take lives. Or they start shooting innocent people with a goal to just kill as many as possible. Why should we be surprised? The fact is, we're not just animals. We are uniquely made. We all believe that. We are made in the image of God. We are different from any other created being because we have a conscience. And we have an innate understanding that there is a higher power that we should bow to. We have the ability to reason, to love, to cherish, and most of all, to be like God in heart and soul. And when you believe those things, does it change your behavior? Does it make a difference in lives? Absolutely. Just as much as a godless theory of creation creates chaos. Well, we're going to continue this lesson two Sunday nights from now, Lord willing. But the point is, beware of any idea that opposes what your Bible teaches, because those teachings, those ideas, those concepts absolutely have consequences. And apart from God, those consequences are not good. We wonder, why is our country in such chaos? The farther you get from God, the more chaos you have. And the closer you get to God, the more peace, the more direction, the more guidance a culture has. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.